This podcast is brought to you by Liquidware. Liquidware is the leader in adaptive workspace management solutions for Windows desktops. Their products cover all facets of management to ensure the ultimate user experience across all workspaces, physical, virtual, DAS, or cloud.
At the third stroke, it will be...
Hello and welcome to the EUC Digest, your bi-weekly audio snack on everything EUC related. And in today's show, we'll be covering the added value of Strix on top of Windows Virtual Desktops. But before we dive into this added value brought to you by Strix, please allow us to introduce ourselves. My name is Jits Langerdijk, and I'm your host for this episode. And with me is Kees Bargeman. Hey, Kees, how are you doing?
Hey, it's I'm doing good. Thank you for asking. It's a great sunny Thursday afternoon for us in the Netherlands at the point in time that we're talking. So happy to be inside talking to you instead of being outside in the sun, as you probably would have figured.
Yeah. Well, if my memory serves me well, then you're remodeling your garden, right? So you had a good excuse to go inside. And leave your wife and kids doing all the hard work, right?
that's completely true. So
she won't be listening.
Not a chance. But she's also not in the garden at this point in time. So I think it's a safe comment to make.
Yeah. Okay. So and everyone is doing safe and healthy.
On our side, definitely. How are you doing, Yitz?
Yeah. Same here. So. The episode with the garden was all last year, so we got that all sorted out, and we're safe and sound at home, so everything great. But, Case, what have you find out about our guest? Because it's not only the two of us today, right?
No, definitely. We have a very very interesting guest on today's episode, and it wasn't hard to find some really interesting facts about this person. So, Let me start with saying that our today's guest is a true supporter of sharing knowledge and understands the value of a community, since he's actively involved in setting up community user groups. He's also very good in explaining complex stuff in simple words, and it's a skill that he refined while being a teacher. And last but not least, while he's a workspace solution architect by day, at night he transforms into a DJ. And some even say he shared the decks with Christian Riley, and we're not talking about PowerPoint decks.
Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. Huh. So, well, if you still don't know who our guest is, then please, guest, introduce yourself.
Hi, guys. My name is Matthias Lane, and as Case mentioned, currently I'm working as a solution architect for Workspace Solutions.
So great, but you're also... a DJ once in a while.
Every once in a while on a Blue Monday, I tend to get behind the decks and grasp some vinyl or something else. And when I'm in the zone, well, then...
Re-energize yourself.
Yeah, indeed.
Sorry, go ahead, Case.
Yeah, I already hear there's a preference for vinyl.
There's a preference for vinyl because, well... when I started, it was all vinyl. So
you're showing age.
I'm showing age. Yes. I'm losing my hair, as you can see. But I started with vinyl. I didn't have a sync button at that time, so it was all manual. But still, sounds much warmer than the digital versions of a track for me. But okay.
Oh. So you have been a teacher, right?
I've been a teacher. It was quite confronting because it was I was actually teaching evening school for some people. It was networking, basic WESs I taught there. And it was confronting because I was, I think, 22 or 23 when I started doing this. And the guys actually all in my class were like, 30, 40 years old, looking for a new way or a change in direction. It was quite fun doing that. But at a certain point in time, you have to decide whether you keep doing this or you focus on other things. And for me, I did this for 5 years, I think. For me, it was 5 years enough. I actually gave enough back for my part. So now somebody else has to do it. But it was a pretty nice experience. Because well, if you're 22 or 23 years old, you're not comfortable in speaking in front of groups. Well,
at least it's a good exercise, right?
It's a very good exercise. Yeah. Very good exercise.
Yeah. Because I think we are all familiar with the situations where you have to explain basic IT stuff to your parents. But this is a different ball game, right? A classroom full of parents.
Well, there might be some similarities, but it's actually a whole new ball game. Because if you have someone that doesn't have any basic understanding of technology whatsoever, and you try to explain what a subnet is, you will spend some hours. But
okay. One whiteboard isn't enough, probably.
No. And you have to hope then that they know some things like binary. If not, then you might run into an error.
So if you ask the question, do you understand the binary system, and you get an answer other than yes or no, then they failed.
Well, it's one or zero, right?
That is an absolute nerdy joke.
Somebody starts, please let me get started. Let's phrase it like this, and okay, never mind. Stop bothering.
So it's a good segue into today's show. And Matthias, thank you for being on the show. We already talked about who you are. Can you tell us what you do and what people can recognize you in and for?
Well, as I said, I'm currently working for Axions as a workspace solution architect. And in my role, I try to understand what the business challenges of the customers are and where they want to go, and aligning IT with their business needs. That's the most important thing, because nobody buys technology for the sake of technology anymore. I think once customers are getting in a room with you, you need to show them value and what you can bring to the table. So in my role, I tend to do that, and my core focus eventually is workspace solutions. I tend to work closely together with some guys from security and networking as well. But that's the core.
So, any interesting project that you currently? Not sure whether you can speak about it, but
I think we were in touch regarding graphical compute power on Azure.
Yeah.
And we recently had a customer that asked us to set up actually a hybrid multi-cloud solution with focus on Azure, then a backup towards Google Cloud Platform, and the primary data centers are here in Belgium. And it was a very challenging use case, and it was not just workspace, it was the whole bunch, literally security, SD-WAN, NUC. So it was quite a challenging project, but I'm happy we were able to make this a success for the customer. So
a happy customer and you
happy consultant.
Yeah, that's also very important. So maybe one step back. But being a teacher and then currently as a workspace solution architect, and prior to working at the Axions, you worked at Citrix.
Yep,
correct.
I was a colleague of one of your co-hosts. I think, and I've been there for 5 years. And then I got an opportunity that I couldn't refuse, and just said, okay, I still am the first one to jump up and say Citrix can solve that. I'm still a true Citrite at heart. Well, I'm still wearing the shirt, right?
Yeah. For those, for everyone listening in, of course, but you're wearing one of the what is the actual text? Imagine
develop, unify, and deliver.
Yeah, from a couple of years back, right, on Synergy.
2018.
With all the Lego bricks.
Yes.
So, we all have got one of those, right?
Well,
maybe Case hasn't, but...
No, I definitely have that same t-shirt.
Just not wearing it.
Well, I'm not working in the garden, so I'm not wearing a vendor t-shirt.
Actually, I have to tell you guys, I'm currently building a house, and all those t-shirts that I got over the years, I'm still using them also when building my house. So,
yeah. There you go.
Don't tell the marketing people. No, we wear them proudly wherever we go. Yeah. So, could you elaborate some more on the, you said you had an opportunity to move from Citrix to Axians.
Yeah. So as you know, it's in Holland, Axians is already I think a gold or a platinum partner for Citrix. I think in Germany, also platinum, and France, also platinum, and we want to do the same in Belgium. So that's my goal, but there are more goals eventually. But Axians wasn't very known in the workspace consultancy market, let us say that, in Belgium, and I tend to change that. So we had our successes already, but I want to grow, and I even want to work towards a European partnership with other vendors as well. So not just Citrix, not just Nutanix, not just Cisco. So
sounds like great ambitions to kind of kick off. Is I can imagine, like, if we look at the market, a usual kind of step forward is going from a system integrator to a vendor. Going to event from a vendor to a system integrator is I wouldn't say unusual, but not that common. Was that something that you took to mind when you made that switch, or was the vision of the future where you said, where you were already talking about your ambitious goals, were those the things that kind of drove that decision?
Well, first of all, everybody has his view on his career. And eventually, when you are known inside the community, I can imagine case where it's that a lot of people tend to talk to you, hey, you have to come and work for us. But I was looking for something where I could have carte blanche, as they say in French, where I could draw the lines, and where I could say, okay, we will choose that technology for that challenge. And Axians gave me this. They gave me a blank paper, and they said, okay, we want to do workspace solutions. You're the lead. You take the lead. You hire people. You name it. So that's important. The freedom as well. But just focusing on one technology, but multiple technologies.
Yeah. It sounds like a great opportunity indeed, definitely.
Well, it's a great opportunity, great company as well.
Yeah.
It's good to have the backup of other countries as well. So you can kind of cherry pick on what was successful and leave the stuff that was less successful. I mean, it's always easier to look at somebody else's faults and take your lessons from that.
Well, we actually work great together when you look on a multi country perspective, from a multi country perspective. But from size, I think Axians is like is as big as Citrix, I think, in people, right? I think 10,000 people, and I think Citrix also 10,000. So, yeah, from people who are from a full-time equivalent perspective, I think Accenture is as big as
Citrix. That's nice. So we heard the word community already a few times. And since both Yitz and myself are big supporters of any community initiative, and it was already mentioned in the intro, can you share your thoughts about user groups, Citrix user groups, and potentially what your vision is on that as well?
I think it's very important to share knowledge because nowadays you look on technology, everything evolves so fast. And when I look back in time, let's say 10 years, you could have an exchange admin that could know everything that you need to know about exchange. But I think that changed because technology evolves so fast, and we have everything is based on cloud development as well. And if you look, for instance, at Amazon, I read an article that they add 47 new things every second or something in Amazon. So, well, I think you need to get a good night of sleep as well, and get your mind off technology as well. So. I think it's a good thing to share knowledge, and I hope I can actually set up the same initiative as Kees and others have done in the Netherlands, to set up actually a Belgium Citrix user group community. And I'm currently working on this. I'm currently working on this with some other people to get this from there.
Great. So any dates already that we should keep in mind or?
Not really. And especially
nowadays.
Nowadays it's kind of hard to get a physical meeting organized.
Yeah.
And what I see, a lot of customers are actually very reluctant to join calls because they had it with calls and webinars and
podcast.
And podcast.
well, they can listen to podcasts while driving on their way on vacation. So we have to keep it short because no one is traveling that great of a distance these days. But but I understand. I mean, especially in the beginning of COVID, everyone jumped on online collaboration solutions and being almost back to back in meetings. And now everyone is, kind of stressed out or bored out, I don't know, but I see where you're coming from. But at least, well, the key takeaway here is keep an eye out on any communications on a user group in Belgium, and would be interesting, definitely. So it's worth driving there.
Yeah, let's take the chance to say that if you're from Belgium or a surrounding area and you're interested in this user group, please contact Matthias because he can definitely and the team can definitely use help in terms of organizing, getting speakers, getting people to kind of spread the message. So if you're interested in a Belgium user group, you know where to go to kind of get that going.
Are you seeking sponsors as well, Matthias?
Well, I think that will be the next step. Next step, but. I think we have to build a solid foundation where we can build on. Tend to get the right people with 100% engagement or nothing at all. That's my aim. I'm in for 100%, and the rest should be as well if we start this. And I don't want any quitters halfway through. So.
No, but I think many of us, they share the same ideas or value community and sharing knowledge as we all do. But there have to be someone, and then Case has done it already, but now you're doing it in Belgium. There need to be people that are willing to invest their time and all their effort in building such a community, because it's easy to drive up there or just log into a meeting and just consume and maybe to participate. But all the hard work, all the groundwork that you need to do before actually something is there, and you can all better relate to this than I can probably, but it takes a huge amount of time and effort, all those little things and arrangements. So thank you for taking this initiative in Belgium. And as we all agreed already upon, we're happy to support it wherever we can. So
thank you, guys.
At least you can reach out to me and to Case if we can help somewhere. And of course, this podcast is also about sharing knowledge. And this today's podcast is all about the added value of Citrix in combination with WVD. But before we dive into this combination of two solutions on top of each other, can you briefly explain to our listeners the concept of WVD?
Well, if you look at WVD, I think you have to look at actually Windows 10 EVD, because it's actually, if you look at WVD, it's the service. And if you look at Windows 10, EVD is the multi-user version of Windows 10. So very clever of Microsoft, I think, because if you look at server-based computing in general, you would have more people tending to server-based computing than VDI, I think. I think it was 80-20%, the 80-20%. Now, as we all know, when working with multi-user sessions on the same OS, you need a lot of tweaks. You need a lot of tweaks to get things ready for production. And I think with the launch of Server 2016 or Server 2019, we all had our pains with locking it down. But also, I think the strategy of Microsoft behind that Windows Server is actually for server things, and Windows 10 is for end user things, I think I can relate to that. I can definitely relate to that. And I think Windows 10 multi-user, or EVD, as we call it, is a great, great thing. Now, you have WVD. WVD is actually the service where you actually spin up instances in Azure and let users land on it, whether it's a virtual desktop or whether it's apps. And a lot of people say, well, it will replace Citrix in time. I don't believe that, but I think that will be a next section in this podcast why I don't believe that. But I think Citrix and Microsoft recently announced their partner to strengthen their partnership, and WVD will be one of those things where they talked about. So
you're talking about the Citrix virtual apps and desktop services, or?
Yes, well, that could be one, or Citrix managed desktops, for example. If you look at the partnership between Microsoft and Citrix, I think it's one of the longest standing partnerships in the IT industry. I think it's 30 years or more. Citrix and Microsoft are very complementary. But the biggest thing you need to ask yourself as a customer is when you start using a technology, is it good enough for me? And do I need something extra? Because if you look at Microsoft licensing, I think M365, E3 has rights to actually deploy EVD or WVD. And if customers say, okay, it's good enough for me, then why should you actually do anything on top of that? Because if it's good enough, then you won't spend any extra money.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, and then it's really hard to actually start selling this to a customer, then you need more. Now, I can imagine in large enterprises, WBD might not be enough today. And yet you need additional added value vendors like Citrix to present them with those added values.
So how does this, is this different? Because, well, I've been working with Citrix for quite some time as well, and every once in a while the question pops up, what's the added value of Citrix on top of Microsoft, or should Microsoft just buy Citrix? And each and every time it comes back to this question, maybe simple, plain, Microsoft-only solution, RDSH, and I'm talking about old-school on-premises solutions back in the days when cloud was only still something up in the sky. There was always this discussion, what's the added value of Citrix on top of, I don't know, terminal services for that sake, right? So yeah. How does this discussion, and I'm not talking about all the different features, right? So, but no. From a higher abstraction level, how is this different, or is it different compared to nowadays with Citrix as an added value on top of Azure or WVD?
Well, I think if you look from high above, I think you can look always at three sections. First of all, it's user experience. The second one is security, I think. And the third one is management. I think those three are always the same and always come back when talking about added value of Citrix towards Microsoft. Now, to answer your second question, will Citrix eventually, will Microsoft eventually buy Citrix? I don't think so, because actually they just bring them money. So it would be the stupidest thing to do.
It's a very cheap sales force to Microsoft, right?
And for every sale that Citrix does, Microsoft just holds up his hands and go like, bring me the money.
Thank you.
I think that's the strategy of Microsoft in general. And this is, again, this is my personal kind of opinion. If you look at Microsoft strategies and Microsoft, the way that they're kind of looking at their ecosystem, they have a tendency to do good enough products, not just Windows Virtual Desktops, but look at other solutions as well. It's always good enough. And if you need something additional, something extra, then there's always an ecosystem partner that can deliver that little piece of extra. And I think that's a very clever model because that keeps the ecosystem alive. From a partnership perspective, it's a clever model because you're making people dependent of what you do towards their customers. So all in all, I think it's a very smart business model for Microsoft. And I think it's very smart from Citrix to kind of lean in and say, hey, we can deliver that added value. We can be that kind of cherry on the top if you need more than just a plain desktop, if I can be very blunt in terms of WVD.
I think I totally agree. Totally agree with that. So if you look at the strategy of Microsoft, it's basically based on getting your identity, getting you in Office 365, then getting you on Windows 10, and then eventually getting you to Azure. And I think pretty much that sums it up.
Yeah, and in some situations that's good enough, but especially for larger or mid-sized enterprise organizations with an enterprise focus, you need third-party solutions such as Citrix or... We can name a few others, but let's stick to this one. But the added value, you said you can divide it up into three focus areas, right? User experience, security, and management. If we take a look at user experience, what's the added value with Citrix on top of WVD or maybe in Windows 10 in general?
I think if you look at user experience, you're still competing in comparing protocols with each other. If you look at RDS or RDP and HDX, yeah. Well, for the people who know what HDX does, it can do a lot more than just native RDP. And when you talk to end users, and I know we're all loving paperless communication, but people tend to try to print something now and then. And printing, for example, is something we tend to forget that just might go out, that just is done in the workplace. Now, it's not just printing, for example, but working on 4K monitors, for example, or
take the advantage. Take the event, the example that we're in right now. We're doing remote communication, collaboration. What do you think? Teams, Slack, Jabber, all these tools. RDS.
Or browser content redirection, for example. Those things aren't available in RDP or RDS. So I think we can talk a lot about features that HDX has compared to RDP, but I think in general you could say user experience perspective. I think user experience should be right and not just high, but you should focus on the right user experience. If you're working on a tablet, your user experience is totally different than working on a desktop or on a laptop or on a mobile phone. So I think it should be focused on the right user experience. And I think that's where Citrix can actually be a good part.
So Yitz, asked about the bucket of user experience, and logically, I'm curious about your thoughts in the second bucket of security. Can you kind of elaborate on where you see the additional value of layering Citrix on top of WVD in terms of security as well?
For example, in high security regions like the financial sector, you tend to see some things like everything needs to be locked. So session recording might be handy, or watermarking might be handy, or keylogging might, keylogging from happening or taking screenshots. Providing access towards, for example, mapped USB drives, those things, and fine-grained filtering on things. Well, that's not just built in WVD right now. I think it could be in the future, but it's not built in right now. So the granular controls, security controls, might be another value as well.
I can imagine that WEM would kind of fit into that bucket as well. It's a little bit of management, it's a little bit of user experience, but it's also security because you can lock down your desktop with WEM as well.
Indeed, and I think a company is only as strong as its weakest link. And I have huge amounts of respect for everybody who works from remote, but end users tend to be sometimes the weakest link in the chain.
Well, not sometimes, most of the time, probably. But I like security as long as it doesn't bother me.
Hey, I am the biggest offender in terms of security bypasses that is probably on this call right now. So yes, end users are definitely creative in terms of being productive. And if security is getting in the way of being productive, then people tend to bypass security.
Well, we have a lot of discussions with customers, and I tend to draw a yin and yang sign on the board now and then, and actually say they need to be in balance. So
yes, correct.
You can have high security, but then you will pay a price for that as well. And sometimes as a customer will have to check, okay, we have 30 points we need to get solved. With that type of technology or those types of technology, we can cross 29 of the board. Okay, is it enough then or not? And if you want all 30 points checked, then you might end up with using an additional technology. But I'm a fan of using, as less technology as possible for finding a solution for the customer's challenge. So, but that's all dependent on how they see things. And then, I think the third part in this whole comparison, I think, is management. And I know you have some partners from WVD who actually extend on their platform, like I think Nerdio, who build a whole management stack around that. But I think we need to look at this from a bigger picture, because it's only focusing on WVD, but you might have some customer that is using WVD for multi-user workloads, but what with the customers that have that need but also need VDI? Will you have another solution then for your VDI? You can, but from a management perspective, it's not really thought. So I think simplicity over complexity.
Yeah. Well, and from a management perspective, you need the flexibility to serve multiple use cases within the same environment, right? So, and what about, maybe this is also part of management, right? But like monitoring, analysis or analytics, and maybe also intelligence with predictive, analysis.
I know the Citrix story by heart. So, I think the organize, guide, and automate actually resonates with customers. But I always say, okay, let's compare it to building a house. Well, if your foundation is good, then you can build anything on it, as long as it's constructed well. And I think in IT it's just the same. If your foundation is right, and if the solution is well architected, then nothing can go wrong, in my opinion. But it's just the same as building a house for me. And
So maybe just a question that pops up into my mind, right? So I'm a customer. You're the solution architect, and I'm seeking advice. I have this on-premises solution, maybe with physical workstations and people moving in and out of the office, right? And I need a more flexible, mobile kind of working. And I'm a big fan of WVD. So maybe the starting point isn't, maybe I already have this on-premises Citrix solution to do some remote work here and there, or some contractors. So would it be for me good enough just to move towards Azure, or would I face some big challenges here?
I will answer it with a sentence. It depends on your needs. But from my experience, if a customer is actually used to working with Citrix technology and it works well, then it will be hard to convince an end user to actually doing things differently, because IT might want that and the business might want that. But don't forget, that's one of the most hardest thing to do, is actually change the behavior of end users. That's the most. That's one of the hardest things to do.
Adoption can be tricky sometimes.
Adoption is critical in any success in any project success.
Yeah,
it's critical.
100%. 100% agree.
So, go ahead, guys.
I've got one question that popped up while kind of going through the answers that you were giving. Now, obviously, we're talking about the relationship between Microsoft and Citrix, There are competitors on the market. VMware is kind of going to bed with AWS. Do you think that a partnership or these partnerships are going to be kind of the next future for the industry? And this is a much more higher level question. Taking a step back from technology as such, but there was kind of this ongoing battle between Citrix and Microsoft and VMware and Microsoft being best buddies all the time. And now it looks like Microsoft kind of admit their color and they went with Citrix. Now VMware is full on with AWS. What's your thoughts on that? And do you have kind of an idea of a vision of that?
Well, I think I'll repeat what you said, Case. I think the strategy of Microsoft actually building products that are good enough, they can't, well, I think absolutely they can, but they have limited amount of engineering. So they have to build solutions which are good enough for everyone. Now, if you look at specific cases, then I think the value of partnerships are crucial in the IT industry. We're talking Microsoft Citrix here, but there are tremendous partnerships in the IT landscape we see nowadays, and I think that there will be more to come in the future as well. I think it's crucial for innovation as well, and actually challenge the status quo. So I think a lot of those partnerships tend to end with another company buying another company sometimes, or just working close together. But I don't think there are any mud fights on the IT streets anymore nowadays. So I think the only one who benefits from it is the end customer. And that's my point.
Oh, I think we can all agree on that. I mean, hopefully, I'm pretty sure it is, but all the developments, all new features are there in the end to come up with better solutions. And in the end, IT is just another tool in the toolbox of an end user to do his or her work and accomplish your daily goals or quarterly goals. I don't know, but definitely true. But no, the question. I was leaning towards more like the hybrid scenario as well with my previous question, right? So, if my knowledge is accurate, Citrix on top of WVD also provides an organization or an enterprise organization to transition towards cloud consumption in a more hybrid approach. Is that correct or?
I think that's spot on, and I think if you look at the strategy of a lot of companies, it is hybrid by design nowadays, because I've seen a lot of companies that actually are looking for use cases to move to cloud. Cloud is not something you do overnight. Cloud is finding the right use case to get things into the cloud, and if you're now a startup, you start with everything in the cloud. You don't need those fancy servers in the data center. No, you just start consuming, and every kid with a credit card can actually have more compute power nowadays than can have actually the same amount of compute power as, for example, a Salesforce or anyone else. It's just, I think, the strategy for companies that are actually there a long time should actually be hybrid for many years to come, because migrating everything towards clouds will be tricky.
So
I saw you laughing, please. So go ahead.
You triggered something.
given the fact that I work for a vendor that delivers data center solutions for on-prem solutions, I do have a sort of an opinion around this. But if I set that aside, I do think that hybrid cloud is kind of the new horizon. I know that Citrix has been very vocal in, not last year, but the 2 years before on public cloud. That's like they set direction to public cloud, and that was the only direction that they've set. Now, if you look back last year, Synergy, I noticed a remarkable change and shift in that messaging, because it was no longer public cloud; it was hybrid cloud, which to me means that they've realized that, you know, like you said, Matthias, there's different kind of needs, different kind of organizations, different kind of DNA inside of these organizations that allow you or will not allow you to go public cloud for certain services or all out. We're seeing companies, from a professional perspective, I'm seeing companies moving towards public cloud with certain services. I'm also seeing a shift back from public cloud to on-prem, just because they didn't adapt well enough to public cloud. If you expect that you can do a lift and shift and everything will be cheaper and better, then you're making a big mistake.
That's true. That's true. And that's a discussion I have with customers, with a lot of customers, actually. But I think, like I said, cloud is finding a right use case to actually move towards cloud. If you, for example, could just lift and shift anything, and well, at the end, if you're on 24/7, oh god,
that's one of the findings that I forgot to mention. Is that on your side, Matthias?
No, it's not on my side.
Oh, this time it's Yitz's side. His dog was barking.
Yeah, okay. Someone opened the door now, so she should be quiet now.
Okay, let's get back to the thing. What were we talking about? Actually,
public cloud shift.
Public cloud shift. I think eventually a lot of things will move to clouds in my vision, but it's all dependent on finding the right use case. And if you run 24/7 lift and shifted workloads in cloud, you will end up costing more than just running it on-prem.
Yeah, the sole advice that I typically give customers in conversations like that is obviously, you know, everything you said before, but I always try to close off with, think about your exit strategy. No matter if you're planning an exit right now, it's smart, it's sensible to think about how you're going to exit that particular cloud at a particular moment, because that will take time and money as well. So before you enter, make sure you can kind of back out as well.
I think that's true, Case. And I also say to my customers always, plan for failure. But failure is sometimes also an exit strategy. How can I move back? And a lot of customers tend to forget that.
So always make sure whenever you're in a cloud transitioning workshop, agenda point number one is the exit strategy.
It's a great
from a security perspective as well. How do I get out of this room in case of fire? Right.
Well, I actually was following. I think it was a video of Peter Hinson a few weeks ago, and it was about the day after tomorrow. A book he wrote, and he was in a meeting room with a lot of his customers, and he was talking about today, tomorrow, and the day after tomorrow. In terms of technology and how many time you should allocate on today, tomorrow, and the day after tomorrow. And one Chinese guy stood up and said, okay, but what about the shit of yesterday? And well, people tend to forget that you can move forward, but you have to take into account what actually is already gone. And we tend to see a lot of, let's say, legacy inside these corporations, big corporations as well. So we need to take that into account as well.
Yeah, and as we started off, right, it's especially in community, it's all about sharing knowledge, and knowledge is something that you build on experience from the days that lay behind you, right? So it's they're very valuable. I think, as you mentioned, the combination of Citrix together with WVD or maybe Azure in general, it's all about, well, increasing user experience with HDX as a remoting protocol, with different video codecs, but also like printing, as you mentioned, quality of service with all the virtual channels within the protocol, increasing your security, secure remote access, especially these days, very important. And manageability for an enterprise organization to easily manage and provision different use cases, not only just one that serves only one use case.
Indeed.
And as we know today, each user has his own use case, or at least he or she thinks she's special. And in the end of the day, we all are, right? So,
your ex are special.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
I think if we look at user experience, security management, I think maybe flexibility as well, because customers tend to choose one cloud when they start, but what about multi-cloud, for example? So the flexibility to have one platform that can connect up to multiple clouds, I think that's something we might add as well.
You've been drinking any champagne.
Well, yeah, but I think
at least for a couple of years.
At least for a couple of years, yeah. But if you look inside big organizations. Every big organization will have a multiple strategy because they won't put all their eggs in one basket. At least from my point of view.
Yeah. Oh, it makes perfect sense. A multi-cloud strategy in a hybrid, in a hybrid scenario. So I think that's a great wrap up to sum it up. Right. So, is there anything? Well, you added already the flexibility, but any final last words that you want to give away to our listeners?
Well, using WVD, I'm a big fan of actually the whole EVD part, concept of bringing multi-user Windows 10 available. A big fan. Should have done this years ago, actually, when they released Windows 10, when you start using this, you have to look to specific use cases and say, okay, is this technology good enough or not? If it's not good enough, then you will have bad user experience, and at the end you will not be well. At the end, the project will fail. So, I think vendors like Citrix and others can bring added value to the table when talking about multi-session Windows 10. I think customers should take a look what it can bring for them. And then they can always decide on actually saying it's good enough or no, we need more. But don't just say from start, no, we just do it with WVD. You might end up actually with missing some features that aren't available yet.
Yeah, make sure that the customer has the right tools in his bucket to serve the right environment or functionality to his end users.
Totally agree.
Okay, and with that, we're going to wrap up this episode, Matthias. So thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed this snack as we try to serve you the right amount of EUC for your appetite. And if you have anything you want to add here or just want to stay in touch with us, please reach out on the social channels or by email on podcast@eucdigest.com. Cheers, love, and course.
This podcast is brought to you by Liquidware. Liquidware is the leader in adaptive workspace management solutions for Windows desktops. Their products cover all facets of management to ensure the ultimate user experience across all workspaces, physical, virtual, DAS, or cloud.